Welcome to WR1, a Blue Wire podcast presented by WynnBET. I'm your host, Chris Carter, Pro Football Hall of Fame wide receiver. And today I'm talking to Los Angeles Chargers wide receiver Keenan Allen. The North Carolina native was drafted in the third round by the Chargers in 2013. After his rookie year, Keenan Allen finished with 71 receptions, 1,046 yards, leading all rookies that year and breaking the Chargers' rookie record. In 2016, Keenan suffered a season-ending injury, tearing his ACL in the season opener against the Chiefs. But that didn't stop him from coming back stronger than ever. The four-time Pro Bowler was named NFL Comeback Player of the Year during the 2017 season after 102 receptions, 1,393 yards, and 6 touchdowns. With impressive stat lines like that, Keenan can be considered one of the most productive wide receivers in the NFL. Stay tuned for my interview with wide receiver Keenan Allen. Welcome to WR1, a Blue Wire podcast presented by WynnBET. I'm your host, Chris Carter, and I'm fortunate enough to talk to the best wide receivers in the league. And I've been knowing this guy 8-9 years and seeing him being consistently one of the best wide receivers. It's a pleasure to have him on the show, a native of North Carolina. Decided to go west in college. I think there's a little story of why he decided to go to Cal, and then also has been playing his football on the West Coast with the Chargers. NFL Pro Bowler Keenan Allen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How you doing, bro?
I'm good. How you?
Good, man. It's been a long time coming, man.
Absolutely.
I gave you a little training starting out your career, and then you've just gone to the next level. And I'm always reading and always following you. So I see that you've kind of taken on the mentoring thing throughout the years with different receivers, not only on your club, but throughout the league.
Yes, sir. I'm trying to, man. It's just about, you know, gaining that knowledge and giving that knowledge, you know.
All right. So I'm going to go back to the beginning because I think you were an athlete that could play pretty much any sport. And we know wide receivers are special, but that wasn't your position. Yeah. What led you to playing wide receiver, and what other positions did you play? And I believe one of those positions you could have played at a high level.
Yeah. So what led me to play wide receiver at the next level, which was college, it's just the Army All-American game. I went there as a free safety. I was the number one free safety in the nation at the time. And I just felt like the game was slow. You know, I wasn't getting the ball. The ball wasn't coming to me.
Boring. Center fielder in a baseball game.
Yeah, I'm just dropping back, you know what I'm saying, waiting on it to come to me. And it was just boring. I felt like I could do more, you know, for the team as an offensive player. And, you know, that's when I made the switch. I was like, I want to play offense.
Now, was that just an internal feeling? Did you have some assistance from your family? Because I know there's a prominent coach out there. People would argue the best coach that's ever coached in college football, Nick Saban. Not only is he trying to convince you to play safety, but he was trying to get you to play safety at Alabama.
Yeah. I think it was internal, though, man. The game was real boring. It was just boring for me. Like I said, I was in the box playing strong safety, dropping to the hook curl, playing cover three, and it was just boring. So, like I said, I just felt like I could do better or more for the team with the ball.
Right. And I know your family's been very important to you. I've met some of your family members. Kind of describe that process of deciding to go to Cal, and then also your brother and the role that he plays in you developing, and also you wanting to play with him.
Yeah, well, like you said, I was committed to Alabama with Nick Saban, free safety. And at that time, my brother was at Buffalo with Turner Gill. And Turner Gill was, I think he had just got released or whatever his situation was. He had went to Kansas and transferred. So my brother, his door had opened up to transfer to a bigger school. And, you know, he was looking at everybody, Clemson, you know, NC State, North Carolina, Cal. And he decided he wanted to go with Cal because, you know, Taffer, he put out some big name quarterbacks at the time. Great quarterback coach. And they just had some good things going. So, you know, I was just like, wherever you want to go, man, that's where I'm going to go. So I just put all my stuff aside and, you know, decided to go wherever he wanted to go. And it was Cal. So.
And your family's been a tight-knit family. I know you had tragedy in your life as a youngster. But you've had other people that come on and step up and be role models for you. Explain that to me.
Absolutely, yeah. My dad died when I was 16. I was in high school, sophomore. Like you said, tragedy. I was going through a hard time. And but at the time, my mom, her husband, Scott Lane, step pops, been in my life since I was two. So he kind of, you know, been already in my life. You know, he just told me, "Hey, I got you, man. Don't worry about nothing. I got you.
Right.
I'm gonna be here to the end." So that's how that.
And I'm gonna tell you, man. Besides you using the word stepfather, I saw you guys interact. I've seen some of your interviews and everything. I hear the way you talk about them. I mean, just how important was it for you as a young person be able to stabilize your life and be able to put some stability?
Yeah. I think just having that everyday, you know, figure, having that everyday person that you can go to and talk to, or that, not even that you could talk to, just as that was there around, you know, I don't know, man.
I totally understand. I mean, it's to me, I didn't grow up with a father. So there were coaches and everything that tried to fill that void. But I do remember spending time with you in Florida, and I do remember talking with him. And as we were trying to put together this podcast and everything, I said, man, I got to bring that up because that was not your normal relationship. And I just believe that a lot of young athletes, either because lack of structure or lack of a male influence in their house leads them to get into a lot of things that typically they wouldn't get into.
Absolutely. And he was there through all of it. Like you said, being that influence, letting me know what was going to happen, when it was going to happen, and how it was going to go down. And it was just on me to, you know, determine the outcome. And luckily I had my big brothers, you know, he had already went through some stuff. My middle brother went through some stuff, and then I had come up. So it's like, I ain't about to keep doing what they doing, man. They tripping. All right. So, and he just keep throwing it in our ear too. So
you got to
pay attention.
Now you might've started off, you know, being selected in the third round there in 2013. There was some news around that. I thought you should have been selected a lot higher, especially after working with you. I knew that you were a pro ready receiver. And what does pro ready mean? Able to get off bump and run, be able to play in the slot, play outside, and understand what the concepts that they're doing. That short area quickness that you had. Talk about the disappointment of slipping to the third round.
Very disappointing. I thought I was a high guy, talking to all the teams at the combine. It was all first round talk. It was all, you know, we like you now. If you get to us, we're going to pick you. You know, even the private discussions when they came to us, the private meetings when I went out there, it was, you know, if we get the pick, we're going to take you. So that's why I was most disappointed, you know, especially from like Carolina, Minnesota, like verbally telling me, it was like a verbal, like, we're going to take
right,
you.
Right, right.
And then you see him take somebody else. And just like, oh, man, what's going on? And then they do it again in the second round. Like, oh, no, this ain't right. So you just having to wait, be patient, and then, you know, them creating that chip on the shoulder.
Now, you've kind of, away from a lot of limelight, you've avoided any negative news since you've been in the league in 9 years. Give me some guys that you have kind of studied and guys that you look at as being your peers, guys that you talk to, other wide receivers that you potentially have learned the craft from.
Yeah, just role models for me. When I first got in the league, Malcolm Floyd was big for me when I first got in the league for the Chargers. He's probably the best teammate I ever played with. Big mouth.
Wow, okay.
Man, he's just a genuine guy, man. He taught me, you know, pretty much the whole offense, lets you know what to do, let me know what feel like, what he don't like. You know, just not doing stuff he ain't
right.
Him, you know, at all. Yeah, just stuff like that. This is a great human being, man. Big mouth Floyd. Antonio Gates was great. Eddie Royal was great. Guys that I watched around the league, Jordy Nelson was awesome. Jordy Nelson.
What did you get from a guy like Jordy Nelson?
Jordy Nelson was a guy who I see on film, and it's like, how he doing all this? And then you go watching his technique, then it's deceptive and speed, and it's just he squeezes, he stacks. Mm-hmm. You know, he never gets
right.
wide.
He's powerful.
Powerful. Mm-hmm. He owns his landmarks and his leverages on the field. So, and just being able to do that, being able to see it and, you know, visualize it and put it on the field.
Jordy Nelson, who else, who's currently in the game? Do you pull their clips and everything and say, you know something, man, let me check this out.
Vontae
because I've interviewed other guys and they pulling your clips.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I watch Cole Beasley, man, Cooper Kupp.
Okay.
In the slot, my slot guys, Cooper Kupp, Cole Beasley, CD Lamb. Who else we watch in the slot? So Devontae on the outside. He jump in the slot too. The guy that's been the most impressive is Tyreek Hill, though.
Okay.
I'm going to lie to
you. Okay, now.
Tyreek Hill, he looking real good. He looking more than the speed.
Right. Now, to me, Tyreek Hill, there's never been another wide receiver that's that fast that can play as well as he can. Because not only does he play fast, but he plays off the ground. Typically, you don't see small guys or fast guys that can jump off the ground and catch the ball.
Yeah, he get up.
He can get off the ground, and I'm very, very impressed of his overall route running.
Yeah, his releases is great. The way he jabs and gets him to move off the spot, it's real good. It's real good.
What about Amari Cooper? He has a little slick.
Amari Cooper is amazing. Yeah, Amari, the route runner.
He kind of has that little hesitation, shuffle.
Yeah,
kind of at an angle.
Yeah, me and Amari kind of got the same kind of release pattern. Release, has a move, kind of see what the DB going to do, and then we attack it that way. Yeah, me and Cooper kind of similar. Cooper's nice. At the top of the route, too, Cooper's nice.
Now, how has it been for you, because you mentioned all those other guys, Gates, Royal, all those guys that helped you out. How important has it been with a guy like Mike Williams and other guys that you have there to make sure that the legacy of wide receiver play continues, and that these guys reach their potential?
It's very important. I stress it all the time, just about the little techniques and the stuff that you ain't got to have the athletic ability on. Master the things that take no talent. We talk about
right.
It
say
all
that
the time.
Again. Wait. Back that up, man. You dropped a little nugget, man. Let me get my little bag, man, to pick that up.
Okay. Yeah, master. You got to master the things that take no talent.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
And most people don't realize it's not about a 40-inch vertical. It's not about a 4.44 40.
Mm-mm. That's not going to get it done. That's not going to take you. Everybody can do that.
It's about knowing angles, knowing leverage, reaching your depth.
You got to seam, and you got to get to the inside edge of the numbers. You got to be on the inside edge of the numbers. If you minus two off them numbers, you're going to get hit, and you ain't going to like it. Or it's going to be a pick six. You're going to learn all.
Now, you talked about Phillip Rivers, and that had to be a hell of an experience. But let's move on to Justin Herbert, because I heard the coach say in a press conference a few weeks ago, and it stopped me in my tracks, man. They asked him, Coach, you were backed up. It was fourth down. Why'd you go for it? Keenan, I never heard this, man. I've been associated with the NFL for five decades.
You're right.
He said, my quarterback is a gangster. I was like, oh! No, he didn't.
My quarterback is a gangster.
Now, you heard that, right?
Yeah.
You talking about confidence as a wide receiver, as a quarterback, the overall aggressive play calling. Just put yourself in that player's shoes. How would that make you feel as a young player taking over a franchise?
Confident. It felt like I got the whole world behind me. You know what I'm saying? Like I can do it all.
Right. And even if you make a mistake, because of their support, they're going to back you up.
It's cool. Mm. We got your back. We got your back. That's the thing about the coach. He is a defensive coach. So he is saying it's fourth down. So if you don't get it, we got to buckle up too. So it's all right. It's all right. We'll
now,
be fine.
Give me something else with your head coach, because I've seen him on press conferences, and I do a lot of judgment on guys before and after games, what they say, how they react, how they treat their players. Give us a little insight on who he is as a person.
Yeah, I think he's a great leader. Just the energy he brings, the confidence, like you said, the confidence, the way he talks, he believes, and he truly has the confidence that we can get it done. And he believes that his way works. And I believe it too. you have a great leader that comes in like that, and he takes over the building, takes over the room, and it speaks volumes. And he's been doing a great job. He's changed a lot of things, and it's been for the benefit of the player. So it's been great.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
I know you have a great deal of interest. Most guys in the NFL have a great deal of interest. I don't think someone, I think your story is very, very unique. And I know you have some music interests. And yes. I know you're involved in some other company, right? You made an investment in Zen Enterprise. I want to go with Zen Enterprise. Explain your overall involvement, why you got involved, and then I'm going to get on to the music part.
Yeah, so Zen Enterprise, I think it was 2014. Okay. Had a friend in San Diego, Jalen Lake, my homeboy. He played basketball all the time, 24-hour fitness. He hang out at the crib. And his dad, they had an ointment coming out, or it wasn't coming out. It had been put aside. It started from his grandfather, and then they had put it aside because he passed away, and they wanted to bring it back up. And I tried it out, and I had the ACL coming up, or the ACL coming around, and I used it on the ACL, and I'm like, man, this thing really worked. So I took off with it, all natural ointment, no opioids, and it's the best. And
also,
of the best.
Now that that ACL, I mean, you just said I tore my ACL. You also came back that next year was NFL Comeback Player of the Year. So speaking of the product, the product was obviously working.
Absolutely. Like I said, it worked. I used it all off season on the ACL.
And you've been relatively healthy, not like a lot of wide receivers throughout your career. Do you attribute that just to your training regimen and how much you've learned through the years?
Yeah, I think so. Just being able to see the guys in front of me, the Weddles, like I said, the Royals, Eddie Royal, Malcolm Floyd, just the way they was being pros. Every day coming in and lifting, win, lose, or draw, they come in and treat the game how it's supposed to be treated. So just respect the game.
Right, talking about respect for the game, we got a lot of wide receiver news going around the NFL, Keenan.
We do.
Who would have ever thought that we didn't know Michael Thomas was not going to play in 2021.
Right.
Odell Beckham, I just read a stat that in man-to-man coverage, he has the fifth highest percentage of the wide receivers on the team, which led to them releasing him, or the Baker Mayfield incident. I don't want you necessarily to comment on that. I just want you to comment on how you have not been distracted through the years. We saw AB, he ripped off 5 or 6 Pro Bowls. Now, he's been with a couple teams. Yeah. Julio's not in Atlanta anymore. Nothing wrong with stability, bruh. Explain it to these young guys and how you've done it.
Well, like I mentioned, man, I had those guys in front of me, the Malcolm Floyds, the Eddie Royals, just being world-class teammates, world-class pros. That's the thing that they stressed on to me the most. Eric Weddle stressed on me the most how to be a pro. Come in every day. When I was young, I would be in there, sad face. Why are we in here, man? We special teams at 7 in the morning, stuff like that. Like, nah, man, this is a job, bro. This is you a pro. This is what you signed up to do. So this is what you got to sign up for. You can't complain. We can't do none of that. It is what it is. So we signed up for 16 games. We got to be here for 16 games.
Right. I know when we come into the league, we all have aspirations. And when you're drafted in the first couple rounds, it's like, man, I really like to make it through that contract. And it's like, man, I like to play 6 years. Man, you've cleared all that. I mean, you one of the real OGs that we got playing the game. And I know your perspective has changed. How long would you like to play in the NFL?
As long as I can. As long as to the body say, Keenan, today we just can't run today.
Right.
I just can't run no more. I just can't do it. We go into the end.
I mean, once you get in it, man, it gets good. You're like,
it is.
Next thing you know, it's 8-9 years. You're like, man, where did the time go?
That's what I'm saying. It happens so fast. I don't feel like OG.
Right.
I don't feel like it.
I'm going to transition over to some other receivers. And you had mentioned one earlier. And he's in the news because he's on fire. Matthew Stafford comes over. They make the trade with Jared Goff, swap him out. Detroit to LA, LA to Detroit. And it looks like the biggest benefactor in the whole thing is Cooper Kupp. Mm-hmm. Tell me the things about Cooper Kupp's game. And, man, what does that new energy do when you got a guy coming into the locker room that you know you can get open? Sometimes you don't even have to be open. He can still get you the football.
Yeah. Well, first of all, when you get a quarterback like that, Matthew Stafford, he's been in the game for a long time. He's amazing. He throwing ball sidearm, no looks. He's doing it all. He throwing bombs down the field. And what is he, 35 plus? He old. So he's still throwing that thing like that, and he got the knowledge for the game. So it spikes you up. It spikes you up a little bit. You know you're not gonna be in a bad position not too many times. And as you can see, Cooper Kupp wide open most of the time. you'd be like, man, what is going on? He keep getting wide open.
Right.
He got a quarterback getting him wide open.
It must do something for your confidence. Because I was a guy that played with a bunch of different quarterbacks. You have been fairly stable as far as the guys that you have had. Mm-hmm. But getting a guy that can flat out throw the football. Yeah. And I'm not here to try to question Phillip Rivers' arm strength, but he don't have the gun that it's a gun, but he don't have the same type of gun as your boy Justin Herbert.
Oh, yeah, not even close.
I mean, he can flight it now.
Yeah, no, it's a different ball flight.
It's a different beast.
Yeah, that's different.
And the thing about it is that, you know, Phillip Rivers is going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, without a doubt.
And I try to tell guys in this league, man, one thing we all have in common, one day there's going to be a guy that show up that's bigger, stronger, faster than you, and can do your job better than you.
Absolutely.
And is that what you see now around the league? Because not only there in L.A. with Justin Herbert, man, we got quarterbacks everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. I mean, they can run.
And they can run, yes. And they can run.
It's amazing how the game has changed.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's about, you got to have one. If he can't run, it ain't looking too good for him.
Now, give me some of your other outside interests off the field. What do you like to do in your downtime? Taking off your helmet.
Playing games, video games.
Okay.
Playing the piano, big music guy like you.
Yo, piano.
Recording.
You don't see wide receivers playing the piano. Talk to me about that, man. And those hands are so good. Are they self-taught or you got an instructor?
Self-taught.
Now, when did this happen? Because I had heard about this. I didn't know if it was necessarily true.
Yeah.
How long have you been going through this process?
I've been playing since I was a junior in high school, on and off up until college. Then I actually got my own piano, you know, once I got drafted. So,
really? And since then, have you taken any type of music lessons or collaborated?
I got some vocal lessons. I went and got vocal lessons, try to tune my baritone up.
So, which better, your singing or your hands?
My hands.
Really?
My hands wake up out of the bed and they can go.
No. You do got nice hands. You got nice hands. It's from a guy with nice hands. You got nice hands, bro.
Go get it done with the hands.
You got nice hands. But what does the music and everything do for you?
I think it's therapeutic. The energy flow that, I don't know, it creates a soothing mental state. Like whenever I'm mad, I could just go vibe in the car, sing out, forget about all that stuff, and just rock out in the car and just vibe out to the melody.
Now, do you have any desire to potentially produce something, be involved in producing some groups? How do you see this music gift moving forward into the future?
Yeah, so I've already did some trials and error.
Okay.
I started a music company that didn't work out, so stop that.
Yeah, that's too much money from the beginning. You're just a puppy. No, that's just when you got money, people think I should come in on the top. No, when really you should come in on the bottom. Okay, go ahead.
Exactly.
Lesson learned.
Failed on that. So up and down on the recording, I record in and out of season. Just to get my stuff, you know, laid down to see what it sounds like. But I think I create a vibe that I like, you know. I think I would take it somewhere after football.
Okay, now what vibe would that be? What genre would that live in?
Definitely R&B.
Okay.
I would say R&B and a little bit of hip hop, kind of Bryson Tiller, Chris Brown.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. And from an R&B standpoint, who have you always looked up to? And not necessarily you're creating like them, because that's different what the sound sounds like compared to.
For sure.
These are people that I've enjoyed or I look up to.
Tank has always been a guy that I looked up to in the singing. Tank, Chris Brown, Usher. Mm. Michael Jackson was always the first.
Man, the boy's got some talent.
Obviously. Obviously. And nowadays, I say I listen to Daniel Caesar, Jivian, Lucky Day, Summer Walker.
All right. And last thing before I let you out is, how do the L.A. Chargers, man, how do you guys finish out the second half of the season and finish strong in that AFC West that might be the toughest division in football that seems to be wide open?
I think we're just going to get better. I don't think we've had a complete week of a full team-on-team football game where the defense and the offense, special teams, just clicking all day. We're still waiting on that. And we're still waiting on the offense to get clicking for a whole day. Honestly, that still ain't happened. So once those things happen and once we can put it together for a whole 60 minutes, it's going to be special.
Keenan, I greatly appreciate you joining me, man. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. It's always a pleasure to interact with that next generation of wide receiver ones and to see you and see how you've grown your career and also to see how you're giving back, helping these young guys reach their potential. Guy like Mike Williams, you see, I saw you hanging in there with him. He's been injured once, got injured again. Yeah. You still kept hanging in there with him, and him having his best season thus far is because guys like you.
Yeah, and we ain't even talk about Mike. Mike's getting so much better.
Yes.
It's just ridiculous. His release moves and the way he's been, you know, getting back on his line and restacking.
People don't understand, when you're as big as him,
yeah,
to me, he's a little too big to be a wide receiver. And that's why there's only a few successful guys at that size. And once he starts to be able to manage his size and learn how to play big on a regular basis, that's the product that we're starting to see in 2021.
Absolutely. Like the quarterback, the receiver, everything's changing. The defensive ends, it's 4-4s now, 4-5. It's getting scary.
All that help extend your career, bro. Yeah. Get it in. Get another long-term contract.
Exactly.
All right. I'm Chris Carter, host of Wide Receiver One, and this is Keenan Allen. He is definitely a WR1. Thanks to Keenan Allen, and thanks for listening to WR1, a Blue Wire podcast presented by WynnBET. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. I'm Chris Carter. Catch you next week.